Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
We're coming to you a little bit later tonight from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north. We had some stuff going on this evening. So we've had a couple of things going on. We're going to talk exclusively tonight about the Baltimore-Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse and the dolly, the ship that hit it. So we want to make sure everybody realizes here that this is like the fog of war sort of thing. Facts are still coming out. Facts may change. Facts may, you know, everything else going on here. With this. So what we report on tonight, a lot of things may change tomorrow, may change when the report comes out. This is going to be one we're going to be keeping an eye on for some time. And let's remember, we have a number of people who apparently passed away here, either five or six, depending on whose report you listen to. And as of the recording right now, it's 9:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, March 26, 2024. So at this point, they have gone from a search and rescue to a recovery situation here. We'll have more on that in a minute. So this is what I want you to do. Right? Because I may forget at the end. You know how this program works. I want you to go, if you're a safety professional or you are participating in a safety meeting, I want you to go right now, put together a safety meeting for whatever day that is this week, even a special one, and I'm going to tell you what we talked about today at our safety meeting. Normally, the projects that I manage, all the safety meetings are on Thursday. We had it today because of this incident. It's what we call a MOHI. In a lot of places called the moment of high impact. And here we have, this is what I woke up to this morning for the report.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge struck by the container ship around 1:30 in the morning. The vessel then caught fire and sank. A number of cars are reported to have fallen into the water. The bridge opening in 1977, carrying traffic over I-695 south of Baltimore Harbor, the incident being treated as a mass casualty event. This is a developing story. I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
Yeah, Jennifer Polsoni, that was from 3:51 a.m. This morning, and we had similar reports throughout the day. The latest report was right now. Let's see what we have here. So Maryland's governor says the search and rescue mission continues. Following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Governor Westmore says their hearts are broken
of this tragedy and their loved ones. All of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss. We're thinking of you, and we will always be thinking of you.
At least six construction workers are missing, while two others were rescued overnight. Moore has declared a state of emergency. The ship's crew was able to alert authorities that they lost control of the vessel before it plowed into the bridge, triggering authorities to close the bridge to traffic and saving lives, which was incredible. They showed that they, while this thing was, right, apparently what the current report is that it lost power, started heading for that bridge, and they radioed in, hey, we lost power, we're going to hit the bridge, and they shut the bridge. Kudos, great job to law enforcement and the other people that closed the bridge. And the only ones that were on the bridge were apparently a pothole repair crew that was doing a concrete pour of some sort, is what the reports were. I'm sure that's going to change what exactly they're going to do here. Governor Westmore says the ship's crew was able to alert authorities that they lost control of the vessel before it plowed into the bridge, triggering authorities to close the bridge traffic. To traffic, saving lives.
We're thankful that between the mayday and the collapse that that we had officials who were able to begin to stop the flow of traffic so more cars would not end up on the bridge.
So at 7:57 tonight, the officials, I don't have audio for this, the officials suspend search and rescue operations in Key Bridge collapse. U.S. Coast Guard said search and rescue efforts have ended for six construction workers who have been missing since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. The bridge span went down around 1:30 Tuesday morning after it was struck by a cargo ship. And I tell you what, the closest analog I have, if you haven't seen the video, is if you saw the remake of War of the Worlds with Keanu Reeves, the Bayonne Bridge getting blown out on that movie, right? That's pretty much how it looked here with this, all right? Officials say, based on the length of time since the collapse and the water temperatures, they do not believe any of the workers have survived. Two people were rescued shortly after the collapse. One of them was taken to shock trauma and has since been released. Recovery operations will resume in the morning. Pardon me on that. Hopefully that got bleeped out. A California structural engineer discusses the Baltimore Bridge collapse. A California structural engineer is sharing his insight after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore early Tuesday. Ryan Kersting, president of the National Council of Structural Engineers Association, says they analyzed the probability of potential threats that may affect infrastructure, but in this case, he believes it was a tragic accident no one had expected.
It was designed back in the 1970s, 50 years ago. It's very unlikely that this bridge was designed to resist the impact of a large ship that we're using these days. This size of ship probably didn't exist back in the 70s.
Six people are presumed dead, while two others were rescued overnight. Maryland Governor Westmore has declared a state of emergency. We already reported on this. National Council of Engineers Association's President Ryan Kersting says bridges and buildings are designed to withstand natural hazards, but vessel failures are quite rare.
Unfortunately, this being the accident that was just unexpected and really in many ways probably preventable, it just probably was outside of the design requirements of the bridge at the time.
And Kersting adds, there are lessons to be learned from this incident.
There may be options to consider for bridges in other port areas to make sure there are appropriate fenders or deflectors to help ships prevent contact with the actual bridge piers and instead would contact maybe a sacrificial element that redirects them away from the critical structural element of the bridge.
Right. So these are sort of like sheet piling around the base of bridges. I've seen them around here. I've had some experience on the water up here. And the Northeast grew up basically on the water, recreational boating and some maritime experience with that. So a lot of bridges have those guards around the bottom of them up here in the Northeast. This bridge apparently did not have that based on the photos I've seen and the video and based on what Mr. Kersting had just said. Safeguards, right? More safeguards, the safer things are. Right, you're not relying on one thing. In this case, I could see one problem right off the bat. They were relying on that ship working properly and nothing ever going wrong with that, including human error, right? And maybe if they added some more safeguards on there that were reasonable, like these guards, as this gentleman said, right, this might have mitigated the hazard. Rather than knocking the whole bridge down, maybe it would have damaged it in another way. Less damage, that sort of thing. With that, sort of, it's the equivalent of getting a bad cut, cut because you're wearing cut resistant gloves versus four or five sutures, sort of thing. Right, you're making it less. Now, here's some more information that just came out of here, and I have to read this out. There's no audio. Here's the latest news. The Coast Guard says search and rescue efforts have ended. Former President Donald Trump is partnering with country music star Lee Greenwood to sell Bibles. Federal agents say they found guns while raiding. Okay, that's a general thing. Now, let's talk about this. Right. If you are in charge of safety, it's incumbent on you tomorrow morning to go and with your safety, you know, have a safety meeting on this. What do we learn? So I'm going to give you some ideas. This is what I did. I came in this morning and half of the people were listening to, heard the reports. Half of the people did not hear the reports. So we went over this and reviewed this. Right. So what did we go over? We went over our own emergency procedures. We talked about how important it was that we have a written plan, which we do on my projects, and what it was. What do we do in the event of emergency? And we do practice drills, even if it's only a tabletop exercise on what we're going to do. Now, the important thing is this also. Establish in your plan, all of my plans, they include a thing to discuss. How do we handle the press? The best way of handling the press is not to handle the press. You have one spokesperson or spokespersons handling the press. You don't think, now, as an average person, unless you're dealing with them all the time, or you're a good talker, or you know what's going on, you do not deal with the press. Let someone else deal with the press. I've been on two different major projects where we had people going out there talking to the press and saying the wrong things. We had one guy on an accident on the Arthur Kill between Staten Island and Woodbridge, New Jersey, that there was an emergency response. There was a barge had exploded, and he was going around telling everybody, oh, yeah, I know, you never met a microphone he didn't like. The reporter came up to him, and this is going to sound slightly misogynist, but this is what happened. Always happens. Let's say that you have a group of men out there working something. You're trying to get something out of the men, get them to talk. Who do you send out? You send out an attractive young reporter out there to get information out of them. This is what happens. This is not made up. And if you have a group of women out there, they try to get like a George Clooney type going out there, or maybe a Jim Poulsel type to go out there to talk to them. Right. And to get information, because they're more likely to give information to a quote unquote pretty, whatever the standard is, pretty beautiful young person, attractive person to go out there to get information. So realize that they already have, and I did graduate school work on this, they already have their script already made out. What are they looking for? What do they want you to say? And then they're just looking for someone to attribute that to. So you're not going to be able to out-talk these people. You're not going to be able to do anything. So this is why it's really important to have assigned people to deal with the press and to answer questions. The other thing is this. Let's say that you think there's going to be litigation, like with this situation, there's going to be fatalities with this, presumably, unfortunately, 6 people dead, possibly, maybe more. Hopefully less. Hopefully 0. But that's not realistic at this point. Do you really want to give bad information to families that may be listening to that report? The person that I talked to you about just now with the barge explosion on the Arthur Kill River went up to the reporter. The reporter came up to him. Why? What's going on over there? Blah, 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 blah. And he was talking about their bill pulling out bodies and things of that nature. Totally the wrong thing to say. Wasn't his place to say it or anything else. So this is why you have other people say this. Let's say that you're in litigation. Try to have an attorney or some spokesperson, third party, paid by your attorney, because, right, to go and be the spokesperson for this. Why? You do not want to get in trouble with legal, with what you say for lawsuit purposes and litigation. You don't want to get caught saying the wrong thing. Now, let's say you're dealing with OSHA here with everything, all right? Let's say that you're dealing with OSHA. You're a foreman or above. You start saying things. Now you're dealing with, potentially, they're going to call that official company policy and may or may not be company policy. If you're a foreman, guess what? They're not probably not going to tell you everything that you need. It's going to be on a need-to-know basis. So you need to watch out what you're saying. And the best way of watching out what you're saying is not to say it to begin with. Let someone else do the talking. And again, remember, you have the right to remain silent and you have the right to ask for an attorney. You do have that right. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Another thing you want to talk about is what do you do in an emergency? Your emergency action plan should not only cover the normal stuff, medical, fire, things of that nature, bomb threats. If someone calls it a bomb threat, happens all the time at many different facilities, active shooter training. California passed a new law with that, requiring businesses to be prepared for that. Anything like that, that you could foreseeably see as an emergency, that's what you do. And also, emergency shutdown of equipment. Are you relying on that one person to shut down all the equipment to know what's going on? I've been on plenty of jobs like that. And guess what happened? Back in the day, they weren't so successful. All that stuff goes into that. Now, I was talking to the great Jody Fisher of the PR podcast today. And I had mentioned the 6:30 a.m. press conference this morning by the governor and the mayor of Baltimore and other officials, fire officials, emergency. And I tell you what, you want to listen to that press conference. It is a textbook case of what you want to say at a press conference, right? And that's one you should probably study as opposed to some of the other ones out there. What normally happens if you don't have a plan in place or anything else when you're talking to the press? You ad-lib like I do here on the program. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not as good, usually really good. What ends up happening is it causes confusion. There are two high-profile cases where things caused confusion. Number one was Sandy Hook Elementary, where the news media, and now they know to hold back, was saying, oh, no, people in the woods, this is going on here, blah, 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 blah. Before you know it, you had people from the other wars, right? The other wars. The other wars. Going out there, saying this and that, and hoax because of what was reported, and we had the same sort of thing on 9/11 with some other stuff going on there. And what do you get? You get conspiracy theories. The more recent case over in Uvalde, Texas, with the school shooting there, we went over that a whole thing here. You can look up the program. What we talked about on that was, they did not have a plan in place on how to, for reuniting centers, spokespeople, an incident command system, went completely to guvno with everything. And now what do we have? We have issues. And wouldn't you know it, all the when the police department did their own internal review, nobody was found at fault. Yeah. Wow, I'm shocked, right? I'm shocked that the police department found nobody at fault with that when the state has a completely different thing with their investigation, right? It just goes to show you context drives behavior and people have different points of view. People come up with different things in the same situation. But getting back to what we were saying, you need four things I write down. And these are from not only Jody Fisher, but also Todd Conklin, who we're all familiar with on the State DFM network here. He had come out with a book, When You Have Your Last Day, or something along those lines. Great book. And you wanted to go out there, and what do you want to communicate? One, this is what we know. Right? Two, this is what we don't know, but we're trying to find out and get to the bottom of this, right? And this is what we're doing right now to find out how to do it and what our current reaction is. That is it. But you may want to throw in there also, this is who I am, or this is who we are, and self-promote a little bit. This is what I do. So this could go with this. Well, hey, this is what we know about the accident. This is what we don't know about the accident. This is what we are doing to find out and react. And who are you, sir? My name is Jim Polzel. I run a company called JCP Technical Services. We have a program called Safety Wars, like the hat says. And why I'm a certified safety professional. I was hired by so-and-so, the client, to manage her health and safety issues and regulatory issues, and to come and give you guys a little talk on exactly the information we have here. Now, this way, and end it right there. Oh, well, we had some questions. Okay, well, we're not going to have some questions when we have all the information that we have on our next update. I would encourage you to submit your questions to so-and-so at this contact information, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it. We're not really prepared to answer those questions now because this is an ongoing thing, and it's really important for us to get back to doing our job. End of discussion. That is it. See you back in a couple hours. You'll know when we get back into it. Real simple, real basic things. When you start to talk, you dig yourself a hole. And that is not where you want to go with this. You do not want to give out bad information. You don't want to give out inaccurate information, because later on you may have to redact it or retract things. Look at what went on here, right? We talked about 9/11, Sandy Hook, Uvalde. How about the Royals? What you hear, you have two people that have cancer. You have Princess Catherine, the former Kate Middleton, and you have King Charles III. They kept everything under wraps with both of them. Didn't give out any information or anything else. They're trying to keep medical privacy. I get it. A lot of things depend on the king being alive and well. Absolutely. Didn't want to cause an issue. Princess Catherine is Princess of Wales Catherine. I believe she Princess of Wales. She and her husband, right, Prince William, they want to keep privacy. I get that. Believe me, they want to be private. But what happened, there was a lot of speculation. Like, he's fooling around on her. He has a paramour. He has this. He has that. She has this. She has this. Multiple. All this speculation. And what did she end up having to do? She ended up having to go out and make a statement. Maybe not what she wanted to do. Right? And they had some other missteps here. Again, conspiracy theories, I get it. Now that I'm doing the live show with all the news reports, no, I get it. No, you want to be out there up front with the thing and with the first one, blah, blah, blah. Not a very good thing. So, in summary, go back and have those conversations with your people here with that this week. Use it as a MOHI, moment of high impact. Go and talk about this stuff. And that's all I have today to talk about this. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. We will be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.